Good afternoon and welcome to the, the Central Baptist Church broadcast. This is Brother Troy McGahan. I'm the pastor of the Central Baptist Church, and we just want to give you an invitation to come out and be with us. We're located at 721 South Main Street in Marion, Kentucky. We're located across from the Marion Pit Barbecue. So come on out, check us out. We'd love to have you. Sunday school is at 10:30. Morning worship is 11-ish. As I always say, and then on Wednesday night, we have a time of fellowship at 6 with dinner. Then at 7 o'clock, we have a lesson brought to us, generally speaking, by Brother Ethan Davis, our youth minister. Now, God willing, today, we're going to be looking here at the book of the Revelation in chapter 20, starting in verse 11. The Bible says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now, God willing, today, we're going to look at verses 11 through 15, talking about the great white throne judgment. Now, I want to say this, okay? One of the things that we have looked at time and again, as we have studied the book of the Revelation, is we want to make clear. We have our certain views and things that we believe, but I want you to understand, there are better men than myself that they look at the judgments, they see a general judgment. They look at the resurrections, they see a general resurrection. You know what? I don't, but that's okay. Because at the end of the day, each one of us will have to give an account to the Lord for our own lives and ministry and what we hold to. So this is what I hold to, the same thing whenever it comes to Revelation chapter 20. I believe it's the 6 times that it makes mention about 1,000 years, kilios, etos, 1,000 years. You know, there's better men than me, smarter men than me, that do not see that. So, that's fine and dandy. And if you disagree with me, that's okay. That's fine, because one day we will all stand before the Lord, and we will have to give an account to Him. I do not have to give an account to the brethren or anyone else. I will give an account to the Lord just like anyone else. So, there's that. I have good friends, godly friends, smart friends, that see this differently than me, and that's okay. So, we're going to look here at Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." Now, verse 11, we find the term where it says, "Then I saw a great white throne." Now, approximately 50 times throughout the book of the Revelation, the word throne or thrones are mentioned. This particular throne is a throne of judgment that is occupied by the only one who can rightly judge and sit in that place of judgment. Who is that? Well, it's God Himself. It's the God of heaven. Now, secondly, we notice that heaven and earth fled from the very presence of God. This speaks of creation fleeing from the God of heaven. And as it reads here, as you see it, it says this, "And there was found no place for them." Now, as I was looking at some of this and looking at some of the commentaries, for the most part, they seem to agree that literally creation went out of existence. That just blows me away. We cannot even fathom that. Now, we'll see in the next chapter where the earth is destroyed and all the elements within it are destroyed by fire. But that's not what it's talking about here. It literally seems to go out of existence. Do I understand everything about it? Nope, I sure don't. Now look at verse 12. Verse 12 says this, "And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged, according to their works, by the things which were written in the books." So those who stand before God, at least in a judicial sense, stand condemned before Him. Why is that? Well, because He is a just and holy God, and we are not just and holy in and of ourselves. Now, we're justified and holy if we are in Christ. That is, we've been saved by the grace of God. But understand, those of us that are not, those that are not saved, we are rightly condemned. And understand, this certainly fits this verse. Now, look at verse, or this verse as well, continues on and talks about the dead, small and great, were standing before the judgment throne. Now, what is that talking about here? Those standing before Him who were small and great. Well, there's a couple ways this could be taken. First of all, it could be taken as talking about those who were older, younger, larger, smaller. So that is in stature and size. Then it could also be talking about those who have great authority, great riches, and those who were poor, those who had no authority, slaves versus masters, and so on. But notice this too. They will stand before the judgment throne. Now also understand too, it continues on and says, they were standing before God and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. So, this is talking about these books. They are the record of thoughts and deeds of those being judged. And they are recorded by the God of heaven. So, there will be no one, there will be no question, I'll put it that way, as to the validity and accuracy of what is written down. Listen, if I am the recorder and I am the one that writes these things down, then guess what? Frankly, I could be wrong about something. But the God of heaven will not be wrong. So everything that is written, everything that is recorded, is accurate and true. And notice, they will be judged according to their works. Now, what's that talking about here? Are they going to be determined whether they go to heaven or hell because of their works? No, it's not. You see, those who are going to go to heaven or hell, they are already condemned because they have rejected Christ. But understand this, okay? And I want you to think about this. Their thoughts, their words, and their actions will be compared. Now, I'm quoting, by the way, John MacArthur, okay? Their thoughts, words, and actions will be compared to God's perfect holy standard and will be found wanting. Also understand that this implies that there are degrees of punishment in hell. Very quickly, I want you to look at a few of these verses, okay? Matthew chapter 10, verse 14. And I always reserve the right to go back a few verses before where I tell you so that way we can have just a little bit more context if we need it. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So here you notice they saying, listen, for those that have the dust shaken off their feet, whenever you go to these towns and preach, it'd be better, or there will be less judgment or a less degree of suffering for those in Sodom and Gomorrah than for those that you go to. So that does seem to imply that, right? Well, let's look at another scripture. We could look at Mark chapter 12, verses 38 through 40, but we're not going to do that. I would encourage you to look that in your own time. But I want you to look, please, in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 29. Hebrews 10, verse 29. Hebrews 10, 29. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will be he thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? That seems to teach that as well. So there's at least a few verses that imply that, and I would say even more than imply it, they flat out teach it. So there will be degrees of suffering in hell. But I want you to understand, even with degrees of suffering, hell is not going to be a pleasant place. Those who live in Crittenden County, Kentucky, who have an opportunity to go to church, who drive by one every day that they go to work, who walk by one, drive by one, whatever it is, but they refuse, guess what? They'll not be able to stand before God and say, well, you know what? I didn't know anything about the gospel. I didn't know there was an opportunity. Well, guess what? There was plenty of opportunities, and you mocked God in the truth. Now, notice this too. Go back to the book of the Revelation. The sea, this is verse 13, the sea who gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one, according to his works. Notice that again. Notice this. This is God doing this. Now, death and Hades, these are both terms describing the state of death. All the unrighteous dead will appear at the great white throne judgment. None will escape. That is, none will get away with having mocked God. All the places that have held the bodies of those who died in their sins will come up, and they will be in new bodies. Those bodies that are fitted for destruction or suited for hell. In other words, people think that hell is just one of those things where they're going to suffer, they'll burn up, and then they'll be turned to ash and everything will be fine. No, no, no. It'll be a body made for that destruction where it will never perish, where the worm dieth not. Remember that? And also where the body will not be destroyed. Now, notice the next verse. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The lake of fire, this new hell, if you want to use that term, is what? What happens? This new hell is taken up, and they are cast into it. And understand, death and Hades are cast into the lake of fire. Pretty simple. Now, understand this. Those who die in the Lord are those who are blessed with the privilege of entering His kingdom. But those who die in their sins, that is the second death. And understand, the first death is a physical death. Unless the Lord takes us away or takes us out of here through the rapture, through that time, guess what? Guess what's going to happen? Unless that happens, we'll have the first death, right? Which is physical death. But understand, the second death is spiritual and it is eternal. It could possibly exist outside of what is known as the created universe as we know it, outside of space and time. But it will be just as real. And it'll be terrible for those who die in their sin. Now, notice this too in verse 15. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Notice that. And anyone who was not found written in the book of life, those who are not written down, was cast into the lake of fire. What does that mean? Well, understand, anyone who is written, are those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. I don't know who they are. My job is to preach the gospel. God is the sovereign of the universe. He can do what He wants, when He wants, how He wants. And He will do as He what pleases. So therefore, as He does what He pleases, then what does that mean? That means those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life from before the foundation of the world, as it talks about in Ephesians 1, about, you know, being chosen before the foundation of the world. Also, I believe in Revelation chapter 13, the Lamb's Book of Life. Chapter 13 or chapter 17, or maybe both. Anyway, understand, those who are written, they are saved. That's up to God. I trust Him to do what's right. Because I also understand that because of man's sin and depravity, and being dead in trespasses and sins, if we are not sought by God, no one will be saved, right? That's right. But here's the other thing I'll tell you. Those who are not written, they're the ones that's going to what? They're going to be cast into the lake of fire. And I promise you at that time, they'll not be able to look at God and shake their finger in His face and say, I can't believe you've done that. This is wrong. This is ungodly. No. They will not be able to say a thing because they know that whatever God does, even at that time, even in their state of sin, they will know that God can do what He wants, when He wants, as He wants. Dear friend, let me tell you today, I don't know whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's not my job. My job, according to the gospel, is to take the good news of Christ and to proclaim it to all the world. That's one of the reasons why we have this venue here on Sermon Audio. That's the reason why, through my job at the radio station, I preach the gospel to the people I talk to. That's the reason why I have a podcast. We talk about the gospel and different things. That's the Parsons podcast, by the way. And here's what I'll say to you. If you are lost, I want to encourage you today. The Bible says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Cry out to Him. Ask Him to save you. And God, by His grace and mercy, may very well do that. He did that for me when I was an 18-year-old young man. And I pray He'll do the same for you. Thank you for listening. God willing, next time we'll talk about Revelation chapter 21, the first 8 verses. God bless you, folks. See you next time.